Welcome to the SOAP Bible Study Series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We are almost to the end of the Gospel of John. We've spent quite a bit of time here, and we've got 2 weeks left.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're right here. We're right here at the end. Last week we did a long section, right? I mean, a lot of chapters.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It was a really short time that it the time span. Right?
Exactly. And I always start with talking about last week, and my last week notes are like this long. You know, you try to keep them small, but there's like four chapters, I think, that we covered.
You can't do the whole thing again. You have to watch.
I know.
You just go back and watch it.
Catch up. Then watch this one. All right. So the first 12 chapters of John take about 33 years,
right.
Around there. Chapters 13 through 19 take less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
Right. So everything is condensed.
Yeah, this week's reading is still part of the same day as
So we did 13 through 16, so we still have three more chapters.
Yeah.
We are 1 day before the Passover feast. Jesus is a little troubled, of course, because he knows what's going to be happening, but he continues to work with his disciples, and we actually see the famous washing of the feet in there also. And he says, "Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So, you know, it's a commandment that he's given them to love one another. And then Jesus says after he leaves, he's going to send a comforter or an advocate to take his place. We know that as the Holy Spirit. That's coming. And then Jesus tells Judas and the others that he's one of the betrayers, and he delivers two I am statements during this time. See, there's a lot going on. What do you want me to cut out of here? but there are seven I am statements sprinkled through John, and they're awesome, and they're actually. And one of them was, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Evangelistic again. And a little while later, while walking in the garden, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener."
Yeah. And that one is actually for believers, right? So as the I am the way, the truth, and the life is for unbelievers, I am the vine is for believers, as we are talking about bearing fruit and pleasing the Father, which is something an unbeliever can't do.
And pruning.
Yeah, pruning is the sad, the uncomfortable part of that.
Right. So Jesus ends this section telling them that they're going to be scattered and Jesus is going to be left alone, but he wants the disciples to understand that he's not going to be alone, right? Yeah. His Father will be with him. So the disciples should have peace because Jesus has conquered the world.
Right.
Right? I mean, he is setting up his disciples for exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
And they don't get it yet, right?
Right. Yeah, not yet.
Yeah. All right. So Jesus is with the 11 disciples. Judas is now gone in the garden, and he's minutes away from being arrested, and he prays to his Father, to God.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting that the other gospel accounts say, you know, Jesus prayed, you know, and we get the, you know, "not my will, but yours," and that sort of thing. John is the only one that actually records like this whole prayer, which is, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, we got the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in Heaven," kind of thing. This is actually the Lord's Prayer. His
God
prayer.
Praying to God. So again, how much to cover on this? So I just want to bring out 4 points. And he tells exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So the first point is he asked God to glorify Jesus so that Jesus can glorify God.
Yeah.
You know, by the actions that he's doing.
Yep.
And then two, Jesus has been given authority over all humanity, that he may give eternal life to everyone God has given him.
Yep.
Three, eternal life is, and then he actually explains what that means too. Eternal life is that we know the true God and Jesus who he sent.
Which is actually important because John, all in the Gospel of John, he always refers to eternal life as a present possession, not just something we'll have in the future someday, but we have eternal life right now. So eternal life has to be more than just living forever. And Jesus finally defines it. Eternal life is knowing God and Jesus specifically. So that's really important.
Right. And in a lot of the evangelistic verses, it's always, you know, faith in God through Jesus or knowing Jesus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Knowing the Son too. Yeah. And then four, Jesus glorified God by completing the work he was given.
Yeah.
Jesus prays for his disciples, and they say Jesus says they understand that Jesus came from God, and they believe God sent Jesus into the world. God asked to help keep them safe and set them apart. He prays for believers, which is all of us, and that we'd use our testimony to tell the world that God sent Jesus and God loves us in Jesus.
Which is cool. So this idea that Jesus is praying for us, those who would hear because of the word of the apostles, which is pretty cool that he was thinking of us at that time, right? a lot of people like to point to this prayer as, you know, well, you know, Jesus prayed for unity and we should all be unified. And, you know, can't we all do, sort of, it's the, can't we all just get along right. type thing. But Jesus prays for unity in the context of truth, you know, set them apart, sanctify them in your truth. You know, your word is truth. Unity has to be built on something, not just emotions, not just feelings, right. not just, you know, can't we all get along? Unity, biblical unity, has to be built on biblical truth, right? And so doctrine's really important. And Jesus puts that here in his final, I mean, literally, these are some of his final right. words, right? right? So I think that's worth noting, that unity has to be built on truth. So,
right. So Jesus and the disciples went into an orchard. It seems like they'd gone there many times. You and I were talking before, and you said, yeah, that's how Judas knew he was going to be there.
Yeah.
They must have always gone there.
Yeah, know, it's right outside spot. Jerusalem. I mean, it's like yeah. it's like going to the park. A lot of people used it, you yeah. know, that sort of thing. And so, yeah, Judas would have known that when it was time to get aside, set aside with the disciples, time to pray, whatever. Apparently, Jesus really liked that spot. So it was sort of a no-brainer for Judas.
Right. Judas came with armed soldiers, officers of the chief priest and Pharisees, and they came to him with lanterns and torches. And again, some of them were armed. Then there's an odd statement in there, and it says, it says, when Jesus identified himself by saying, I am, which isn't an, it is another I am statement, but it's yeah, not,
right.
They retreated and fell to the ground.
Yeah.
What's happening here?
So,
I love being able to just, you know, pass it over.
If you read, you can read all sorts of commentaries and they come up with different stuff, right?
Right.
Some people actually think there was a glow, you know, or like a booming
right.
voice.
Well, almost like the I am had power, right?
Yeah.
Proclaiming God.
Right. And some people really like to make that a thing, you know,
right.
I am. And it's, you know, like the burning bush or something right. like that. So, but it doesn't say that, right? right? So one commentator wrote, he said, some people think that Jesus, you know, made an advance. He's like, you know, I am. And they're not expecting that because they, you know, people don't usually just turn themselves over to the guards yeah. like that. And so when, if he stepped forward, maybe he stepped back and started tripping over themselves, you know, but John doesn't say. So yeah. it's really hard to, I want to be careful not to read too much into it. You know, they were all, it doesn't say they were terrified. It just says they fell down. There's, you know. So
right, so they arrested Jesus and they took him to Annas.
Mm-hmm.
Is that mm-hmm. So he was the father of Caiaphas,
mm-hmm.
Who was the high priest that year, yeah. father-in-law.
Now it's interesting that it says high priest that year because under the Mosaic system, high priest would have been for life, right? Once somebody became a high priest, but when the Romans came in, even the priestly system became very political. And so there were actually appointees.
Yep.
Yeah. So they were serving terms and all sorts of stuff. So,
and I believe that was mentioned earlier in John.
Yeah.
And then I think we saw last week that Caiaphas was the same guy that they had gone to that said, look, it's to our advantage that yeah. one person dies so we can stay in power.
Yeah. Here. Yeah. Yeah, so very, very political. You know, they're thinking about their power. So Annas was a high priest. Caiaphas was a high priest. There was a family thing going on. There was a political thing going on. It was really a mess.
Yeah. So Peter and John followed Jesus, and John identifies himself as another disciple, and he was acquainted with the high priest, right? So
yeah.
there was some maybe some politics going on there.
Yeah, so some John's people say, you know, how could a fisherman from Galilee really know the high priest? Well, I mean, when you look at the fisherman from Galilee, he wasn't just some guy out in a boat. It was his dad's business. They had lots of employees. So right. maybe there was, you know, right. again, political connection, right. financial connection somewhere there. Right. Yeah.
It was around this time that Peter denies that he's one of Jesus' disciples. Mm-hmm. All three of them are listed here, but after the third one, the rooster crows after the third time. Jesus is questioned about his discipleship or his disciples and the message that he's teaching.
Yeah.
And he answers with, I taught in public. You were there.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
No secrets.
it's like you could do the exact same thing today. The only thing Jesus couldn't say is, There's cameras everywhere. It was all recorded. You could go back and watch the recordings. Yes. That's essentially what he's saying here without the modern technology, right? Yes.
So at that point, an officer struck Jesus in the face.
Yeah.
As the beginning of his physical punishment that he was going to have to endure for 12 to 16 hours.
Yeah. So this would have been overnight. So very early in the morning, say, you know, midnight-ish or whatever. Right.
Yeah, more 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah. So he was on the cross by 9 o'clock in the morning until 3. He was on the cross for 6 hours. So overnight, you know.
Right.
He
was then sent to the high priest. There's no information about what happened, but then Jesus was taken to the Roman's governor's residence to Pilate.
Yeah.
Pilate had to come outside, which I thought was very interesting. Otherwise, the Jews would have been ceremonially defiled and they couldn't eat the Passover.
Because they wouldn't be able to go into a Gentile's residence.
Yeah.
Right? And so they are, I mean, John does such a really good job of showing, you know, they're scheming to kill this other Jew. I mean, they're doing everything they can to murder him. They've paid to have him murdered. They paid all this stuff,
right.
But they wouldn't dare go into a Gentile's house because we have to keep clean. It's like, and the back and forth is just so.
And also, they know enough that they have to get Pilate's okay on it.
Yep.
Knowing that Pilate doesn't care about another Jew.
Right.
What Pilate cares about are the people going to revolt or not?
Yeah. And this we'll actually see this because historically, what we know is that Pilate this is his last straw. Okay. So a Roman governorship was known by Caesar. Pilate knew Caesar. Caesar knew Pilate. Pilate's not had a good track record with Caesar so far.
Right.
Okay. And so this is sort of like his last straw. First of all, he's stuck down in Israel.
Yeah, he doesn't have the most prime of spots.
It's not, right? Yeah. So Caesar's already put him about as far away as that, he's will. And basically, from what we can tell historically, is if there is one more problem under Pilate's rulership, Caesar's going to have him killed.
Yeah.
And yeah, now this Jesus situation comes along, right. And which is why when we hear things, and we'll see this, in the next chapter too, you're no friend of Caesar's. He can't have that. You know, basically, right. we've got all the power here. We could have you killed if you don't do it. And he's trying to negotiate. He can't have a riot. He can't have. I mean, you sort of have to feel bad for Pilate at this point because there's not much he can do.
Yeah. So he comes out. First thing he does is try to pass it off. Look, you're Jews. This is a Jew. Pass your own judgment.
Yeah. This is not a situation.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah.
It's a religious thing. You know, take care of it yourself.
And then they, of course, reply, we can't legally put him to death. I love the legally part in there.
Right. Yeah.
So then Pilate and Jesus went inside, mm-hmm. Which I think is very interesting because now they don't have any control over it, right? The Jewish leadership.
Well, and they don't care if he's ceremonially unclean.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
As long as they're not.
Yeah, but they lose the ability to chime in and give things. So Pilate asks him, are you a king? What have you done? And Jesus replies that his kingdom is not from this world, or he'd have a bunch of servants that would be fighting for him.
Which a lot of people today take that to mean, it's a spiritual kingdom. It's not an earthly kingdom. You know, there's not going to be a literal kingdom. It's the church. It's a spiritual thing. Jesus didn't say it's a spiritual thing. He said it's not from this world. It's not a world-based kingdom. And it's not. He's getting it from the Father, you know, and the whole right. thing. So that's, you can't do it that. He never says, I'm not a king. In fact, Pilate says, so you are a king then. It's like, how are you defining things, right? Jesus is like, you don't even really understand what I'm talking about here. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So Jesus says he came into this world to testify the truth. Those that belong to the truth listen to his voice. And Pilate famously asks, what is truth?
Yeah. Yeah, you can almost say philosophically, it's like, what's truth?
Yeah.
You know?
So Pilate finds no fault with Jesus, and he tries to release him. So it seems like there's a custom that one prisoner will be released with Passover. So he asks the crowd there, hey, should Jesus be that person? And the Jewish leaders, of course, say no.
Well, of course not. Yeah, and that was Pilate's custom. Again, he's trying to appease people. Yeah. This wasn't like Rome across the empire. It's just like, you know, Pilate did this trying to keep the peace, and nothing is keeping the peace at this point.
Right. So Pilate has Jesus flogged, and I don't want to take anything away from that. I mean, a terrible thing.
Yeah.
Soldiers made a thorn crown and put it on his head, struck him again and again while calling him King of the Jews. So, you know, it got down at least to them that yeah. it was King of the Jews.
Yeah.
And they also put a purple robe on him, which is a sign of being a king.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Pilate took Jesus back out to the Jews and said, "I find no fault in him," they yelled, "Crucify him," yeah. because he was dressed as a king and, yeah. and looked at a had a crown.
Yeah, but verse 7 really betrays their motive here. Jewish leaders replied, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he claimed to be the Son of God," right? For them, it was always about the religion. Yeah. It was always about the thing. But Pilate didn't care about that. They had to
use that for
to negotiate a, right. you know, well, you know, he's claiming to be a king, you know. They didn't care about that. And Pilate didn't care that he claimed to be a son of God or anything. I mean, who cares, right? So this was, I mean, this is a classic version of the enemy of your enemy is my friend right. type thing. Yep. These guys didn't like each other. They just hated Jesus more.
Right. So Pilate understood that this was a big deal with the Jews, and he takes Jesus again into his residence, and he asks Jesus questions, and Jesus not replying
yeah.
until Pilate, like you said, "You know I have the authority to release you or crucify you, right?"
Yeah.
And Jesus said, "You would have no authority over me unless it was given from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over is guilty of a greater sin."
Which is really interesting, because if Jesus were trying to get out of this, Pilate's given him every yeah, opportunity. Right. And Jesus almost sounds like he's being, you know, disrespectful or just, you know, whatever. He's like, he knows what the end goal is. He knows right. where he's going. And so he's not trying to get out of it. He's not trying to make it easier on himself. He's just like, "Listen, I'm just going to tell you the truth. You have no authority over me. Just do what you have to do."
Yeah.
You know, right. basically yeah. is what he's saying. Yeah.
So Pilate again tries to release Jesus. Jews wouldn't let him and said, "Look, if you release him, you're no friend of Caesar's."
Which is the whole yep. thing that Pilate yep. can't have, right?
Everyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar's. And after a little more discussion, Pilate hands over Jesus to be crucified.
Yeah.
Jesus was crucified along with two others. Pilate had a notice fastened to his cross, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews," which... the Jewish leadership did not appreciate.
They didn't like that because what would happen? So first of all, the cross, crucifixion, was reserved for capital crimes, capital offenses, political right. prisoners. It was such a cruel thing that Rome would not even, it was disallowed for a Roman citizen to be crucified. Couldn't happen. So this was a political thing. And just like a person's crimes are read before they're executed, even in our own country, the crime was posted above the thing. Right. So the crime was, you know, his name, Jesus of Nazareth, the crime, King of the Jews, because that was what they said he had to be crucified for, right? They didn't like that. They wanted something like, "He claimed to be the King of the Jews." And yeah. Pilate's like, "I'm done being pushed around today.
Yeah. Right. It's my day off." Yeah. So the soldiers divided up clothes, drew lots for his tunic, and fulfilled Psalms 22.
Yeah, Psalm 22, yep.
While Jesus was on the cross, his mother Mary was there. Turns out, I think there were three Marys there. So I was trying to keep them straight. Jesus told John that he needed to look after his earthly mother, and John notes that Mary moved into his house.
Yeah.
So again, there was some money there, right? He had the ability to take care of her.
Yeah.
At this time, they were approaching Sabbath, and the Jews wanted to hurry up the death so the bodies could be removed.
Right.
So at the end of his life, in order to fulfill scripture, Jesus received some sour wine and said, "It is completed." He yeah. gives up his spirit. The legs of the other two prisoners were broken. I take that to be to speed up their deaths.
Yeah, because when you're on the cross, the longer you're on the yeah, cross, the more you slouch down and you have to use your legs to push up to breathe.
Right.
Once your legs are broken, you can't right. push up to breathe anymore. So right. now you're suffocating, you know, gargling on your own blood. I mean, just the whole thing. It's an ugly, ugly way to go.
Jesus was already dead. The soldiers didn't have to do this, but they pierced his side and with a spear, and blood and water flowed out immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that is a sign of death mm-hmm. in there. And then we have Joseph of
Arimathea?
Yeah, Arimathea. Mm-hmm. I was trying to put an S on the end of it. Figured I spelled it wrong. A disciple of Jesus asked Pilate for his body. Nicodemus, the Jewish leader that we've talked to at least twice, at least the third time, helped him prepare Jesus's body, and they buried him in a new tomb.
Yep.
And a lot of stuff quick.
Yeah, and the Sabbath, because again, the day starts at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Right.
So you say, well, you know, they had all night to prepare. No, because the Sabbath started at 6 o'clock. Right. And it's not just that they had to get him down and buried, it's that they had to get back to their places too, right? So it wasn't just about the dead body, it was about the people who were doing the work.
Now they touched a dead body.
Yeah.
So they would not have been able to participate.
Well, so but in the evening it would, you know, when the day started over.
Okay.
Yeah. The day started over. So they needed to be able to be done and, you know, ceremonial clean and everything before 6 o'clock. So, Jesus died at 3. They had a 3-hour window to prove that he was dead, to get the release from Pilate, because there was a couple of times back and forth to Pilate that, is he really dead? Check him again, you know, type thing. Then, you know, crawl up there, get him down, prepare his body as much as possible, get him transported, the whole thing. So we think 3 hours, that seems like a lot of time. It's really not.
Right.
For them to get back home by 6 o'clock so that they could celebrate. Well, celebrate now, because this is not how they anticipated spending this Passover Sabbath.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But so, that's the end for this week.
Yeah. So we end with him dead.
Right.
And so they're going into the Sabbath, they're going into Saturday, they're going into the weekend.
Yeah, their world is completely shattered, right, on what happened.
Well, and Passover began the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So this was supposed to be, you know, a week-long celebration. And they're looking at this week of, this is going to be without Jesus. So what's going to happen, right? So, yeah, not an exciting time for those who were actually there in the story. Of course, we know the end. Even without reading it yet, you know, next week we'll read it, but we know the end. And so we can celebrate that it really was a Good Friday, because Sunday's coming, right? So, but this week, take your time. Don't jump ahead. Take your time. Read what happened. Embrace it, because Jesus did this for us, right? And so celebrate again the death and of Christ on your behalf. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this is what it's about. He did this for you. And if you have questions about that, please contact us. Please write so that we can help you get the information that you need, the answers that you need, so that you can believe in Jesus as well. We'll see you back here next time. Thanks for sticking with us through this video again.